I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take 5 before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the James Donald Forbes McCann Catamaran Plan. If you'd like to listen to bonus episodes, go sign up to the Patreon. That's patreon.com. Anyway, you'll find a way.
I saw something that really upset me, and I'm going to say it here at the beginning part of the podcast. It's actually the last thing I'm recording for the podcast, but I'd forgotten it while I spoke for the ensuing 38 and however many minutes. But it upset me so much that I thought, we've got to get that news right to the front of the podcast. I'm speaking very quietly because the family's asleep, and I'm about to have to pack up the Airbnb. Anyway, you'll hear all about that. I'll do all the introduction about that. I ate Carl's Jr. recently. And I was in the drive-thru at the Carl's Jr. And at the moment, I think it's the woman from Call Her Daddy, who is the temporary spokeswoman for Carl's Jr. And, you know, she's filming her softcore erotica with her big buzzies and eating her hamburger. And I'm there, you know, I'm looking at this. It just takes over the menu. I'm trying to see what they have at Carl's Jr. I don't have the Carl's Jr. menu. I don't know the difference between a Western Star and a Star Supreme and a whopping big star, the big star. And what about the chicken ones? And it all keeps disappearing. And it's this woman and her big tits. And I got to try and make my order. The woman disappears for long enough. And I speak, and you get a robot voice at first, which is becoming more and more common. You know, you go to the McDonald's and they go, "Hello, have you got your app today?" I go, "No, I don't have the app. I want to talk to a person," and then the person comes on next. But at this Carl's Jr., they go, "Hey, may I take your order?" in a very robot-y voice. Well, not even that robot. I could tell it was a robot, but it was, you know. Really, the only way I could tell it was a robot because it was too together and professional for a 10 p.m. Carl's Jr. employee in rural California. And when the real voice came on after this interaction, let me tell you, it didn't sound like that. How did it sound, Jimmy? Are you going to give us an impression? No, but I will say he used the word eshake instead of shake. And that was really nice. Here's your eshake. Anyway, it was an AI. The full order was meant to be taken by AI. Carl's Jr.'s pivoted to that. You're meant to talk to a robot. I'm buying my poison. Listen, you can have, I'm going to say 2 of these 3 things, but once you get all 3 of them together, it's dystopian. You can either, 2 of the 3, softcore pornography on a screen, okay, erotica on a screen. That's number 1. Number 2 is ordering poison, and number 3 is doing it, just talking to a robot. I'm talking to a robot while I order my terrible food and they're showing me porno. It's a Black Mirror episode and it's happening in rural California. I'd like to say I won't be eating at Carl's Jr. again, but I will. But I mean, can Carl Sr. have a word about this? Can Carl Sr. come along and say, this is not the kind of institution that we want to be running? Fast food places used to have a clown and a big purple man, a colourful interior decor, and a anthropomorphic bird who got your breakfast. There was a little man trying to steal it all. There was a king of the burgers. Yeah, man, you go to a Hungry Jack's, which is Burger King in Australia, there'd be a jukebox and pictures of Elvis Presley. And now what is it, a porno and a robot? Give me a break. I didn't realize it was that bad until afterwards. I drove away and I thought, I think I just spoke to a robot while they showed me porno. Disgusting. Evil. Wrong. Welcome to this episode of the James Donald Force McCann Catamaran Plan that I've already recorded.
ザ・ジェームズ・ドナルド・フォーブス・マッキャン・カタマラン・プラン Would you like that super size?
You know, there's a trope in movies. I don't know if it's a trope or it just happens in Gattaca, but it felt like a cliche. But that thing of, you know, you go out swimming and you swim as far as you can, and then on the swim back you realize you don't have the energy to get back to the shore and you drown. Again, maybe that just happens in Gattaca, but it felt like a trope. When I was watching it in Gattaca, like as soon as the boys go out swimming into the ocean, I thought, oh yeah, they're going to swim out too far. One of them's not going to be able to make it back. Oh, it's the one without the fancy jeans. Whatever. It's a metaphor. It's a metaphor for how I feel, for hubris. Took my family on this road trip and it's been great. And I will, in a moment, talk about some of the ways that it has been stunning. But at the moment, as we have started on the retreat, dare I say return? No, I said retreat. I ran out of steam. As we're coming back, excuse me, it's such a big, it's a big bloody country. It's too big. It's too big. Break it up into smaller pieces, please. For the dignity of road trips, it'll be, I don't know, it's like 28 hours left to go. We saw Yosemite yesterday and that was great. What I'm trying to say is I can make it back. Don't worry, I'm not the drowning boy. I'm going to make it back. The family will be fine. I'm doing fine. I'm a little, I'm tired. I am very tired. But I'll get a nice sleep tonight. The kids will now go down. We'll wake up in the morning. Crack of, I don't know, nine. At the crack of nine. We'll be out of here. We're in Mammoth Lakes, which was the cheap place that I could find near Yosemite, where we went yesterday. And Yosemite was a joy. Oh, actually, a number of things have happened. Should I do it chronologically? Nah, we'll go backwards. Reverse chronological. Yosemite is so beautiful. I mean, is there more to say? I realized there was a hotel inside the national park, and it's a very expensive hotel. And one day, post-boat, you know, when I'm money in search of purpose, I think I could very happily just spend 2 weeks in Yosemite just walking around going, wow, trees, big, nice, with bears. I can't see any. I think they're here. I believe there are bears. It's so beautiful. Beauty is very important. That and other pearls of wisdom from James Donald Force McCann on this episode of the James Donald Force McCann Catamaran Plan. It was, I didn't think we'd spend as long at Yosemite as we did, but because we were pretty tired by the point we got to Yosemite, but we were restored by El Capitan, amid others. I think people base jump off of the mountain, cliff face, big sharp hill, whatever, I don't know what it's called, but whatever El Capitan is, I think people base jump off there and sometimes die, and I'd heard that, and then I saw El Capitan and I thought, oh yeah, if you're gonna maybe die jumping off something, you'd want it to be that's good, that's very big. The sheer bigness of it has really, man, these natural America's national parks are so, there's so little signage, there's so much freedom, there's so little oversight from park people. I'm sure people disappear there all the time. So much of it is not being overseen by, you're alone, you're in the wilderness. The government says people need a place to get in the wild. They need a big fancy hotel in there as well, but for most of them, for miles and miles and miles, just nothing. Good place to bury a body. Well, maybe not, because there's people trampling through there all the time. You could probably find a better forest. But, you know, you just go, this is... how many guys are trekking off into Yosemite and doing terrible things? Anyway, my point was, it felt very free. And, of course, when something is free, lascivious? I don't think lascivious is the word. What's that word that means inclined to? It's not calopigian. That means of large bottom. Dang, there's this great word that means wanting to sin. Hold on. It starts with a C. You probably already know it, dear listener. But for those of us who don't know it, we'll all have it together. Oh, I'm going to have to look it up. Concupiscent. What a good word that is. I knew that word. I didn't want to talk about concupiscent. I was just saying I felt very free. And I had all these thoughts, but I was restored by beauty. Maybe people go to do terrible things at the National Parks of America, and then they're so beautiful, they go, I'm turning it around. I'm not going to do something dreadful. I'm going to look at El Capitan. I didn't hear a lot of people talking like that in Yosemite. It was a lot of, whoa, dude, California accent's real. Where were we before then? Sacramento. Oh, I quite liked Sacramento. Mixed reviews on Sacramento. A lot of people going, Sacramento is great. And some people going, the Sacramento? I quite liked it. It was sort of it's like New Orleans / the Rust Belt, despite being very much so neither of those places. I think it just had a midtown. And a lot of people looked like they were GTA 5 characters. You know what I mean? You can extract from that what you want, but I saw a lot of people who looked like GTA 5 characters in the midtown of Sacramento, and the shows were great, and thank you for everybody who came out to the singular. It was only one show, actually. Who came out to the show, we packed it out. It was very packed. Packed like a sardine. Packed so if a sardine tin had just one very small section with nothing in it, we almost sold it out. I think it's like we got 200 and something, and it's, anyway, it's slightly more than that. It was close. Ooh, it was close. In a town where I haven't been before, where I don't have an audience, on a Tuesday, they all seem very, and I'm very happy to everybody came out. And I guess that's the point I got to in my career in America, where I can show up to a random town of under 1 million people and do a show and be paid, you know, with a check. I mean, that's nice. I spent years trying to get people to come out to show in Adelaide, where I lived and was from and knew a lot of people, and I couldn't do it. And so now just to show up randomly in Sacktown and have people there, it's a great honor. It's a great blessing. I'm very grateful. I'm very blessed. I'm very honored. Anyway, before then, we picked up our friend Ruby in... well, actually, she was already on. Ruby was on the last pod. She's not with us now. She's in Sacramento with her mother. And we drove on, and then Yosemite, and then, well, I guess that does catch everybody up. I don't even know what we did in Sacramento. Yes, I do. Come on, Jimmy. It's all blank. I mean, what's the point of going out on the road and making these beautiful memories on tour and on a vacation with your family if you cannot remember any of them because you become so tired? And also, if sometimes you become, I mean, sometimes, oh, my goodness. The kids are at a very beautiful age today. We went to we made it to a ski town after Yosemite because it was too expensive to stay in Yosemite. And my plan of booking somewhere at the last minute did not work. Again, it's twice. There's two failures, about six successes in my just book family accommodation on the day and you'll get it better and cheaper. Anyway, it sort of worked in the ski town. It's the ski town. It's the middle of summer. This is the off season. I know this is the off season, and they've got, you know, the paltry consolations for it being summer in a ski town to just try and keep it going until the cold comes back again. And they weren't so very paltry, but they were bloody expensive, and that made me very upset. My wife bought a strawberry milk and an apple juice. It was $19, and she felt embarrassed that she'd paid for it. It was very sweet. She said, I was going to get us all food, but these two cost $19, and I was embarrassed, so I bought them, but I think we have to go. And I said, yeah. And I didn't go in and have a word with them. You can't be charging $19 for some juice and some strawberry. I just said, all right, we'll get out of here. But we did do two activities. I did one of them with my boy, my four-year-old. He has wanted to go on a roller coaster forever. And there was a sort of a luge. It wasn't a roller coaster. It was a downhill luge type, not skiing type replacement. And I got to take my daughter on those about a year ago in Branson. And he was very upset that he didn't get to go on because he was too short. But he has grown tall enough to go on this one. And so I got to take him on that. And he was a little scared. He was a little scared, but he came right. He goes, oh, this is all right. And I go, oh, yeah. I go, see, because there's a brake on it. And I said, you know, you've stopped asking me to hit the brakes. And he said, hit the brake. Like, he'd just forgotten that he could have the brakes. And once I'd reminded him, he did want them applied. But he was he's a brave boy. You know, if bravery is being afraid and doing the thing anyway, he is a brave boy. Oh my goodness, it's going to be a mental drive back, but that's fine. I also feel like we've seen all the stuff. it's nice to come back a different way, but we lost something in one of the hotels at the start of the trip. I mean, I lost my bag in Las Vegas, and we lost something just before then. It was a rough start. And the Las Vegas police still have not figured out my bag. I'm going to have to find some excuse to go back to Las Vegas. I've got to join the Blue Man Group. I've got to head back to Las Vegas and get my bag at some point. So expect to see me at a show in Las Vegas in the coming months, exclusively for the purpose of retrieving a bag. I'll enjoy doing the show, I'm sure, and it'll more than cover the fly of the tickets if I'm very blessed. But I want that. It's got my favorite shirt. It's got a horse on it. I've done the rest of the trip with two pairs of socks and anyway, you can do a road trip with you. You can do it. Here's the thing. People told me, they said, oh, you can't do that. And you can do it. I mean, it's not done yet. I think the hardest part is to come, which is driving back a place you've already been. It's not novel anymore. You're not going, oh, the petrified forest, the painted desert. We stop in and see that. We go, we've seen it. It was beautiful. It renewed our spirits. We're going on. We're moving forward. Oh, we might get to see a couple. We can stop in slightly different places on the way back. We'll spend a little longer in Albuquerque. Listen to the Weird Al Yankovic song again. Thank you to everybody who, a lot of people sent in music recommendations. I've run out of music to play on Spotify on the car. Does not do random properly. Someone could tell me why I'm wrong, but I think I know how to make an algorithm random really easily. And someone, please listen to me. Please. I'll tell you right now. Because I think what's happening is it must just go, we're skipping ahead by 150 songs. Or whatever, it must have a set number. I don't think it can generate randomness for the shuffle. Well, use the time and the date. Multiply all the integers and the time and the date. And that'll give you a random number. And then the time is always updating, so you always get a different number and always jumps ahead by a different number each time. And, you know, if you don't have it, maybe that adds up to like 7,951. Maybe that's a prime number. I've made myself into a fool. And did I say adds up to? I meant multiplies up to. Oh, sorry, I've been watching. I'm not good at maths. I used to be okay at it, but now we're watching number blocks with the kids. They don't watch a lot of telly, but when we're on the road and you've got the wife and I are flat as a tack, driving all day, looking after the baby, and you just fill an hour. It's like, all right, bang the number blocks on. They're numbers who have, but every number has a different personality, and they live in Numberland, I think. And they get, they confuse. There's some weird things. I'm sure someone's gone into depth on it, on the lore and the interior physics of Numberland, but. You know, two ones can come together and they merge together and they form a two, and then a two has an entirely distinct personality. And three has a distinct, every number is unique. Every number has a distinct personality. You know, the seven is, I think, a rainbow. Eight's a rainbow. Nine is gray. And then what's kind of nice is the ten You see? 10 is like a teenage, older version of 1. And then 100 is a very, very mature, middle-aged number 1. And then 1,000, sometimes they get up to 1,000. Well, that has a very ancient, you know, it's like a titan, it's like a sort of like a half god type number, sort of transcendent. But then the numbers don't seem to experience any existential dread when two ones come together to make a two. They don't miss having been ones. I don't think they, I think there's enough of number blocks that I've seen that they actually don't really remember being what, they just continue on as two, with two's personality and two's memories. They don't, you know, like in Severance where there's the two people and they're fused into one, you know, one person is split into two people and then fused back into one person. They feel great anxiety about it. There's a whole show about, you've been alive longer than I have, you have more memories than I have. What if I only exist as a small component of you? And the number blocks does not explore that theme at all. No. And there are multiplication tables, which are sort of hovercrafts. And I don't know if the numbers eat or if they have love or friendship. They're not, you know, it would be easy to say that these were anthropomorphic numbers, but they're not. They're a distinct form of life with its own concerns. And sometimes they overlap with... Who's that down there? What are you doing? Off to bed, honey. Off to bed. I mean, what child could resist? That would actually be, if it wasn't for the fact that that child needs to be in bed. Whoa, it would be good to get some of the insights on. She's seen more number blocks than I. She'll know. It's functioning, but there's something, something freaky. It's human. It's not a bad show. I can. Some of the songs drag on for a bit, and I don't like it when they bring in the letter blocks. I think they're called the alpha blocks, excuse me. And that's a block that's, you know, there's the T block and the H block. And there's a U block and an M block and a B block, and when they all stand together, a thumb happens. It can also happen with different blocks and different things, and if they jumble around, that's how they influence their universe. And that's, as Ruby was pointing out, there's something more unsettling about letters inhabiting a plane of existence, because they're something that we've generated culturally. Numbers exist before us, we can name them, but I think you'd have to be a real, I mean, I'm sure somebody out there, I'm sure there's an academic school where they think that we've thought up numbers. Numbers are not really existing and discovered, but also a cultural phenomenon. It just seems so dumb. Obviously, ordering them into units of 10. But number blocks also covers that. Well, I mean, they live in an ordinal. Is that the term I'm looking for? An ordinal universe is 10. But they do explore, what if it was binary? What if it was 3? I get some sometimes number block. Let me tell you, I'm wondering how push they can. How far can they push this number blocks thing? I think there are 10 seasons, and they increase in complexity. Can we get the free episodes are sort of entry level stuff. But if I would be interested to see what sort of songs they write about differential calculus. I don't think they've yet explored an idea that they didn't seem. You know, at the moment it's a lot of 2 and 2 is 4, but 1 and 3, add them together, that's a 4 too. And a 4 and a 0, well, that's 4. They haven't gotten to negative numbers yet. I don't think they have an easy way to... There was one song they did about negative numbers where, you know, we were imagining if we went underground, what that would be like. You know, 0 is the ground and 1 is above the ground. What about when we get under the ground? -1, but negative 1 doesn't sing any songs. So maybe that could be some sort of enemy. No, but they're all this unity, you know, and there are intellectual challenges for the number blocks to figure out. But They don't seem to have too many disagreements with one another. Sometimes they'll go for a race. Sorry, this is really probably, I mean, for some people who've been subjected to a lot of number blocks, this probably feels, maybe they feel heard and seen. But for those with their children, I'm sure people are just going, stop talking about the number block. You got to pick. When you're a parent, you got to pick. There, some people go, my kids are watching no screens at all. You know, as though they were tribal persons on that island just off the coast. The coast close. The island close. Close to Inja. You know, those guys with the spears who kill you if you try and help them. Not sure I like them. Not sure I like those guys. I might have to go over there and have a word with them. Anyway, I'm not keeping up on the news. I'm mostly keeping up on the number blocks. I think it would be more advantageous for my comedy career if I was keeping up on this, whatever, Epstein files, and Trump seems to be in real trouble. But I've just got my dumb phone and intermittent internet connection. When I was a young man, I really kept up with specifically Australian politics. I followed American politics as well, but Australia, you know, I knew who people's chiefs of staff were, the state and federal, what was local, who's protege, what are the factions doing, who's got dirt on who. And now it feels like it's important. When I was following it, it didn't seem especially, you know, even at the time, it felt like fiddling around with, maybe it did feel important at the time, and I'm being ridiculous and I'm fabricating a memory, but certainly they did not feel like impactful times the way these are impactful times. People used to talk about budget surpluses in Australia, and getting rid of all the national debt. Now, there's no sense that that's even something people would want. It's gone out of control. But it's gone out of control because we're dealing with big, you know, things are big. Big things to be dealing with. Excuse me, maybe now's a good time to mention that this is usually what the Patreon sounds like. So if you're listening to this and going, man, that's no good. Ooh, keep your ass off the Patreon. Unless you want to see Wimbledog. We've got Wimbledog out there as well. Nah, I can feel a second wind coming. Can you feel it? I can. Maybe it's a third wind. Ooh, over the course of this road trip, there might be wind number 56. I finished a book of poems on the road this week. It's been proofed. I'm having the proof copy sent to me so I can see how it looks on the page, and the cover is being worked on. So we'll have a new book of poems in a couple of weeks, and that'll be a big wheel to break my back on, is flogging a new book of poems. And that'll just be self-published once again. I think I need to sell. Someone once told me you need to sell 5,000 copies before you get a proper book deal and you get into a store. And you know, I make like $10, less than that. I mean, Australian currency, $9. I feel very happy being open with everybody about what I'm making on the book. You know, I'm making slightly less than half the cover price, but I think if a publishing company brings it out, you get like 10%. And so once, you know, if I'm making $7, $7 American, and I'm selling 5,000 of them, and I'm making a new one every year, that's, what, I'm making 35,000 American? I'm not. But if I was, and I got to that point, why would you want the book deal? Anyway, well, I'll tell you why you want the book deal is because you want to sit down with Stephen Colbert in the time that he has left. And you want him to go, oh, it's a very funny book of poems. You know, no one's watching. No one's watching. No one's buying them off the back of this. But you sit down with Stephen Colbert and he says, I love you. And you're wearing a suit. You don't usually wear a suit, but Stephen Colbert's there, so you wear a suit. And you say, thank you, Stephen. That means a lot. And he goes, have you been on any road trips in America? So you've briefed him before. You say, I've been on a road trip. you ask me about a road trip and I'll be able to tell a funny story. And so he goes, just apropos of nothing, after going, how much he loves you, he goes, a road trip. Have you ever been on them? And what I think would be funny would be to do a fake pre-Tonight Show interview where you go, I've got a story about road trips, a story about airplanes, I've got a story about opening up a can of beans. And you know, you sit down the Tonight Show and the guy goes, you're a big fan of beans? And you go, no. They go, oh, I thought you might have been, or maybe you're angry with beans because of how hard it is to open the can. And you go, you just use a can opener. What are you talking about? This is a very strange thing to be saying. I'm sure someone has done that before. I'm sure people won't have the opportunity to do that again as these shows fizzle out one by one. One by one by one by one. Oh, Jelly Roll was so good as a host. Well done, Jelly Roll. Anyway, that's why you do it, because it's nice. And then your family, they see you go on the Stephen Colbert and they go, you got the toy. Look, we saw that. It is working out for you. Now, you could make more money on the internet. You can have a bigger audience on the internet. But your grandmother doesn't understand what's happening on the internet. You know, when they all get together, the family gets together for Thanksgiving dinner. Or in Australia, we would probably do a Christmas lunch, but everyone's gathered around for Thanksgiving. And grandma, you know, she's there going, you're big on what? The TikTok and the OnlyFans? I don't know what that is. You know, but if you're even a low-level pornographer, then grandma probably says, oh, yes, I remember Deep Throat. That's incredible. Star of the silver screen. Silver peen. Excuse me, it's very late. I'm being silly. I don't want to have to start packing up this Airbnb. But if I pack up the Airbnb, we can leave bright and early. We have failed to leave bright and early most days on the trip, and that is a failure for me as a father. It's important, I think. Something I seldom get to do because of the comedy. I'm to bed very late and then to get up before the children. Extremely brutal, and unless I become a sort of a man who divides the day into sections. We have 2 5-hour sleeps, which I have done before and I don't really want to do again. But getting up before the children puts them on edge, you know? Lets them know, hey, no funny business. Dad's already been awake. He's waking me up. Imagine what that must be like to wake them up. I'm sure that'll happen at some point. It's never happened yet. Children and old people, they get up so early. I don't know why old people get up so early. Maybe they don't need as much sleep because, you know, it's not as though they have as many things to do. Maybe because they don't have so many things to do, they like to get up early just to see if there's anything. Is there anything happening? Is there anything? I don't want to miss the worm. Oh, dear listener. I feel like I'm at a weird moment where I'm waiting on a comedy special to come out. And the coming month, I'm going to go off and do a bunch of people's podcasts and bank them and hopefully have them on this podcast. And do a nice big relaunch with famous guests. Relaunch is not the word. I'll just add that to the oeuvre. Oh, don't worry. There will still be the episodes where I'm very tired and rambling about nothing. But anyway, that hasn't happened yet. I haven't done those interviews yet. And the special is not finished editing. It's been recorded. I'm writing the new material for the new shows I'll be doing after it comes out, but that's not out yet. I've written all the books upon them, and that's not out yet. I'm taking all these meetings to hopefully make a movie, and that they're going really well. We might get to make that movie, but that's not out yet. I'm starting work on another film script. That's not out yet. When does the dopamine come? When do I actually get to, oh, it'd be nice to release these things and just, you know, have them fail at least. And have them, you know, then I don't have to go, what if it's a failure? I can just go, ah, a failure. Good. And I think that is one of the issues with the, one should get accustomed to that, right? Good things take time. Good things take time and effort. Well, some good things. I think the Come Town might be one of the best pieces of art to have emerged in the last decade at least. And I think that was just them talking. for every one of those, there's a thousand others. Oh, there are some good pods of people talking. But a man talking therapeutically? Oh, no, 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 no. No, he's got to think about that first. Turn it into stand-up. Otherwise, what I'm effectively doing here is improv comedy, and that's it's not something anybody can enjoy. I tell you what I did enjoy is I've started, my daughter is six, and I tried teaching her chess a couple of years ago, and it was slow going, and I couldn't really communicate the concept of diagonal, which is quite important. But she understands all the pieces move now, and I think we're going to press on. I think I'm going to really get her to be good at chess. And then I have to, well, I don't know. I mean, we'll get at least playing and knowing how to play. And we'll play some games, and I will destroy her. And that's a delicate moment, because I'll win. I'll win the games. I will. She's so smart, but I'll still win, because I'm in my mid-30s. Who's down there? I said I'd destroy her, and I wonder if that sounded like a threat if she was listening on the stairs. Oh, I gotta go and find out, because I meant destroy her in chess. I might have sounded like Daddy said a weird, scary thing. Excuse me, one moment. Nah, it's all good. It's all good, it's all good, it's all good. It's all good. She was listening, but she wasn't. I think she understood it in context of being about chess, and then she asked if we could play chess now, and I said, go to bed. Okay, so when you start playing chess with a child, or any game, you know, and you can really whoop them, you don't want to, like, lose on purpose. Well, you just don't. I won't. No, I will. You don't want to lose on purpose. Because then you're not taking it seriously, and then you're taking away, and then the thing of actually getting to beat you. Yeah, that's good. That's a beautiful thing, that one day she will actually get to beat me. But you don't want to just come down on like a ton of bricks over and over again. This is what's nice about, I mean, there are some games like Go, where you can have a handicap, and then you get to beat me at 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4 handicaps. Can you do handicaps in chess? Maybe I'll start with, I'll take a knight off. Can you beat Daddy without a knight on the board? All right, can you beat Daddy without either of his knights? Oh, okay, he's got no knights, no bishops, no queen. No, I'm just hacking it to pieces with the rooks. And fantastic pawn formation. Nah, we'll see. We'll see. We'll find out. I'm going to start doing so. I'm going to start researching pedagogical chess. It would be nice to have one person in this family who would play me. My wife does not play board games. She's opposed to them. She finds them. She says, I do not play games. And so I says, would you like to come play Monopoly? She goes, no, I do not play games. She's very mysterious. She's a very mysterious woman as to why she doesn't play games. I think it's because she's hyper-competitive and she's closed that part of herself down for her own sanity. And we must all close parts of ourselves down for our own sanity. Anyway, you know, that sort of thing. That's the sort of thing. Oh, I think I'm getting very fat. I will say this. I've not been eating all that healthily on the road. It's quite hard to find things for people to eat. I've gone without dairy, more or less. I've been slowly reintroducing it, and slowly, we're getting a bit. I made it to cheese. I've made it to small amounts of cheese without too much difficulty, but my wife's gone gluten free, and so you can't have gluten and you can't have dairy. We've all got to eat something. We're going to get through a drive there. I mean, are we really going to go to Carl's Jr. and you have a lettuce wrap burger? And I don't get the shake again. It's very difficult. You've got to plan. If you're going to have silly dietary things, you've really got to be. You can't be a gypsy with a gluten intolerance. There's no time to add that to the new book of poems. It'll have to be in the book of poems after that, I'm afraid. Oh, hello, Stephen. He goes, I love this poem about gypsy gluten intolerance. I say, oh, I thought you would, Stephen. I don't think I know him well enough to call him Steve. But that's what I was trying to say. That's why you get your book deal, you know? You go to the writers' festivals and people give you a garland, your little award, a little trophy. I was reading about poetry book sales, and I thought, well, yeah, what's a good book sale for, you know, a good book of poems? How much does it sell? And it said, for a top award-winning poet, I was really, yes, for someone the entire Poetical Institute and Academy gets behind. Yes, 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 yes. It's a couple hundred. No. No. And they go, but some poets do sell a lot. I go, oh, who? And they go, this lady. I go, not this lady. They go, this lady. She writes real bad poems and pops them on the Instagram. I go, oh, what does she sell? It's like more than all the good poets combined, actually. You go, far out. Is there any point to getting a book deal and getting in there and being championed as poetry's cause celebre? No, mate. Nah, there's not. I found that interesting, at least. I think fiction's still going. Literary fiction. You obviously can't be a straight white man and write that. There are all these articles out on how straight white men are not allowed to write literary fiction anymore. And, you know, I think that's fair. We've had our time. We wrote all of the good novels ever. Well, I want to be fair. Some of them were gay. But, yeah. Why do we pretend like there were great hidden women geniuses? Maybe there were. Hey, maybe there, of course there were. Excuse me. But we don't know who they are. They've been lost to time. I mean, by the way, I'm not saying women can't do incredible. Women, obviously, great novelists. George Eliot, Virginia Woolf, J.K. Rowling. Big fan. I could list some of my favorite novels written by. Thank you very much. Some of my favourite novels and poems were written by women, actually. What I'm saying, you know, within classical music, though, they're always trying to get Clara Schumann to happen. They're always trying to say, well, you know, Clara Schumann. Some people say she's even better than Mr. Schumann. And to that I could only say, I don't even like Mr. Schumann. They're both. If anyone can help me have any positive feelings at all about the Schumanns, at the moment, I can't. It's like I've been blinded. I can't. Give me Brahms. Give me Mahler. I think they liked each other, but independently, Mahler's got at least one good song, and Brahms just belting it out, hit after hit after hit. Well done, Mr. Brahms. Academic overtures, this sort of business. I love Mendelssohn. I love Liszt. I love Chopin. Got a little earlier, don't mind Schubert, you know? Bruckner, go the other direction. Wagner, doesn't do it for me personally, but I know a lot of people get behind a Wagner. Well, let's not pretend Cosima Wagner was writing better things. Mozart's sister, that's one they like to bring. They go, well, Mozart's sister, she had something. Where is it? How hard is it to write a keyboard sonata? If you know how to write music. Well, there was a culture. Women didn't. Just do it privately. If you're on Emily Dickinson style. You didn't get a couple. You know, you didn't feel the urge to compose so vividly that you banked off a couple of sonata? Excuse me, I thought someone was knocking on the door, but it's an ice machine. I don't usually stay in places that are fancy enough to have an ice machine, and the sound was alien to me, but now I have identified it as an ice machine. Oh, I had a terrible experience. You know what? I'm going to go back and say it at the start of the podcast, because it's something that really upset me, and that can be good. So you've already heard me talk about the Carl's Jr. thing, but I'm going to go and do that at the start of the podcast now. And I'm going to end the podcast here, and I think that'll... Oh, look at that. Do you mean to tell me we got 38 and a half minutes of blather? Well, put a ribbon on me and call me Suzanne. I have to go to sleep. Who's that downstairs? Oh...
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.